From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2017. And the goal always, steady as it goes, this is indeed our one of two. And our goal, to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution, but stand for the checks and balances put in place by the founders to create a peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Normally, we do a recap of Friday's or the last broadcast. We're going to skip that, do that second hour today, because we have so much to cover. Our guest, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen.
Wow, there's so much to cover. Lowell emailed me a treasure trove of reality checks, to say the least. Lowell starts out and says, you know what? We the people need to watch what the legislators do each year. He's talking about on the state and the federal level. We need to keep an eye specifically on what our own representative and senators are doing and actually how they vote. If their voting pattern serves to subvert your liberty or to take more of your property, then you simply need to replace them, ladies and gentlemen. That's really key. And that's one of the things that campaignforliberty.org does the best at, is keeping track of what's really going on, rejecting bad legislation, sounding the alarm bell, if you will, promoting good legislation, hoping to educate folks on what's really going on and what they need to do, etc. But it's a tragedy literally in every state. I call it the reign of terror. Whenever the legislative session happens in a given state, it's just like the people are under siege. It's crazy. For example, the Utah state legislative session used to be 60 days long. Now it's 45. So we're all excited. Thank heavens they reduced that window of terror, if you will. And I know some people would say, Sam, that's really offensive to say that. Come on. These are the elected people that care for our nation. I get it. I understand. But when we have a situation where most of the legislative liaisons or representatives do not even read the bills they're passing, that is of serious, serious concern and consequence. So let me give you an example, ladies and gentlemen. The Utah State legislative session for 2017, 45-day window, literally passed 535 bills. Now, I don't know how many that is per day, but if it's 10 per day, folks, it's 450, so it's more than 10 a day, right?
Yeah.
But here's the other problem. 75% of the legislative session may pass at most half that. And when you get down to the last couple of days or the last 10%, then they're just sailing them through left and right. People don't have a clue what they are. They can't be debated. The legislators don't even have time to read them and or analyze them or break them down in terms of what it will do expenditure-wise, what it will do to other laws, what the implications will be. The list just goes on and on. This is psychosis, to say the least. Now, usually there's about double that number of bills that get put in the hopper, so you got to siphon your way through all the ones that don't pass as well. The list just goes on and on. Lowell, do you think I've overstated the issue or been unfair in any way?
No, I think that's pretty accurate, Sam. The good news is a lot of those bills, not a lot. Some of those bills are drafted during the year, and a lot of work is put into them during the year so that they can sail through during the legislative session. But sometimes...
I appreciate that, and that's good because we get a little bit more time to analyze them, but what it really means is... What we've done by reducing the legislative session is we've created this window of just shove everything through you can. Let's work on it all year behind the scenes where it's not under scrutiny from the American people or the people of the state of Utah, the citizens. And then let's just ram it all through in this window. And so unless you're willing to engage year round and then really hyper focus on these efforts as they happen, in other words, by the second you got to watch them, you're still not caught up, sir.
Yeah, you know, I feel sorry for some states whose legislatures meet year-round. I think that would be just to put it, Sam, a hellish place to live, because you'd have to, you know, you'd have to ride herd on your legislator, you know, year round. And fortunately, we only have a 45-day session here in Utah. And so it's just, you know, these 7 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks that we have to be just so attentive, and we have to be communicating with our state senator and our state representative almost daily during that 45-day period, alerting them to the bills we think are either good or bad and so forth, because they do need a lot of help. One person cannot read over 1,000 bills and understand them, the intricacies of them, in just a few short weeks. It's just humanly impossible, and so they have to depend on other people to help them understand the implications of the various bills that they consider.
But if that's the case and they can't really get a grip on it, they, by honor, need to vote no, sir. That's their obligation. If they don't clearly understand and they're relying on somebody else for information, that's not acceptable when they're voting for me. Otherwise, I might as well do it myself, and we might move to a peer democracy. Not that I think we should. I'm making a point, though, for clarity's sake. I'm hiring them to review, to scrutinize, to understand, and to vote on my behalf. And if they can't get it done, they need to vote no every time.
You and I would do that, Sam. You and I would vote no on something we had not read. And there are a few legislators who do that very thing, but the vast majority will actually just accept the word of their colleague. So their colleague brings forth a bill, says this is a good bill, and even though no one has read it or studied it intently, they just take the word of their colleague and vote, you know, yes or no on it based on his word. Unfortunately, that's the norm for a lot of legislators. And those, like you say, Sam, those are the kind we need to replace, because typically those are the kind that will vote to take more of your property and to encroach more upon your liberties than anyone else.
And we got to keep an eye on that big time, ladies and gentlemen. Sad to say, there was a big shift in the Olympic state of Utah towards really larger government in the form of taxation and really the spending of our money by raising taxes or creating fees, or they have all kinds of words to describe these, but what they've really done is taken more out of the pockets of the family and put more in the hands of government, right?
That's right, Sam. They raised the gas tax yet again. They did this last year, and they voted to raise the transit room tax. These bills combined will raise taxes by over $20 million in the year 2019. Fortunately, efforts to enforce an internet sales tax failed, but the effort passed almost unanimously in the Senate. There was only one state senator who voted against the internet sales tax, and fortunately, a House committee voted to kill the bill on a tie vote. Just never got out of the House committee, thanks to some courageous representatives on that committee. The Senate even voted to increase the cost of a marriage license, Sam, and they did so in a devious sort of way. They said, we're going to increase this, the cost of this marriage license by $20, but if you'll go attend this marriage counseling class before you get married, we will refund this $20 extra that you had to pay.
So not only did they increase a tax and abuse the people, but then they added regulation and government demand, which, no offense, the government doesn't belong there at all anyway, sir.
Well, who can say what they're going to put in that class, right? I mean,
well, that's my point by regulation. Pretty soon you're going to, you know, you're married to the government before you're married to your spouse doctrine, right?
Exactly. And I
know that sounds insane, but I'm saying that the loyalties start to change and shift, and pretty soon then gay marriage is the promotion. Pretty soon that's the special way or the protected way or the promoted way to get married. Pretty soon it'll be classes on sensitivity training. I mean, who knows where that'll go?
Yeah, exactly right. We just don't know where that could lead, because anything you give to the hands of government tends to go slower, go poorer. Repeated example over and over, anytime government gets involved, things get worse, whether it's regulation, whether it's classwork in our public school system, whether it's, any of these things. Government's proper role is really to secure our life, liberty, and property and see that justice is done when those are breached by other private citizens. It is not the proper role of government for them to get in, determine what we see and hear prior to a marriage or what we see and hear in a public school class. I mean, those things are best left to the private sector, Sam.
Wow. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a row to hoe. We'll tell you about it. We'll break it down. There are some good things that have happened as well, but I'm telling you right now, they increase cost of a marriage license. These bills combined will raise taxes by over $20 million in 19 alone.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you, and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes, all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
You heard me. So a lot of negative in the state Utah legislative session in 2017. They literally passed 535 bills in 45 days. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to keep an eye on what our own representatives do and how they vote big time. If their voting pattern serves to subvert liberty or take more of your property, you got to work hard to replace them and expose them. Legislators in the state of Utah voted to raise the gas tax yet again. They also voted to increase tax on what they call transit rooms. What the heck is a transit room, Lowell?
Well, a hotel. So when you stay in a hotel, that's where they ding the out-of-state.
And the idea here is that they're dinging people that are out-of-state and travelers. My problem with that is a lot of times when people are moving to a different home or they're temporarily there or relatives come and visit, You need to be grateful for the economy boost by their existence, not by abusing them to get there. If people oftentimes are in a transition, they'll be in a hotel room, sometimes for financial reasons, a lot of times before they end up homeless, they end up in a hotel room struggling. This is nothing but an abusive tax. There should be no reason that that should be taxed any harder than anything else. But again, they yet again raised taxes on that. They're raising taxes on gas, primarily a tax to the people with less money. I won't even probably know the difference in my day-to-day life much. However, the person struggling to get to work will absolutely notice. And that's kind of the problem. They increased the cost of a marriage license. Great way to help out a family getting started out of control, government. See, you're thugs. You're out of control. Now, they would come back and say, well, Sam, we're just really trying to encourage people to go get some marriage counseling before they get married. Divorce rates and meltdown rates and abuse rates are way too high, and hopefully we can head this off at the pass. I get it, but it's not the proper role of government. Okay, I get it. I understand. But it isn't the job of government. See, and we just run off the rails in terms of our ever desire to meddle, ever desire to overregulate, and what it really amounts to is government unconstitutional abuse. All right, these bills combined, ladies and gentlemen, that we've talked about will raise taxes in Utah by over $20 million in 2019 alone. It's out of control. Now, thank heavens, efforts to enforce an internet sales tax failed. That's a blessing and a half. So we did win some battles, lol, but one of the favorite tactics these bureaucrats use often is this. The House passed a number of good bills, but they didn't even get a vote in the Senate, which means they're DOA. Or they, things started in the Senate or whatever and got rejected by the House. When that happens, though, it allows these bureaucrats to take credit for voting for something good. They can run around and tell all the people, oh, I voted for this and I'm promoting this and I'm doing this, knowing full well that it's DOA. And the proof of that on the federal level is this health care legislation. The House voted to repeal health care, clean up and down repeal the thing completely. That was when they knew it would fail by Barack Hussein Obama and the Senate. Now that the Senate just may pass it, now that Barack is gone and Trump will surely sign it, now they won't even bring up the same legislation at all. So the problem that I have even with these good bills is they're really promoting them and passing them and focusing on them, no doubt knowing they'll fail, right?
Yeah, that's a favorite trick, certainly in our national legislature. I don't have firsthand knowledge of how often that occurs here in the state legislature, although you bring up a great point. I think we need to be on our toes about that because, you know, if that's happening here, boy, we need to make some changes there in our state legislature.
But, the real issue though is there's some good things and some concepts to be broken down here, nevertheless, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. There is, Sam, and I've tried to. So we'll summarize a couple of the highlights, and then I want to go through a little more detailed analysis of some of these things. One of the first that I'll highlight, Sam, is this asset forfeiture reform bill. It's one of the bills that we spent the whole year preparing. It passed the House last year, died in the Senate. Passed the House this year, died in the Senate. But those who promote this are definitely some of our most liberty-minded legislators. So I'm not suggesting that they've tried to do the Washington trick here in the state of Utah, because they actually do want this to pass and have worked very hard to get this to pass. HB 19 was the number of the bill here in Utah. It reforms our asset forfeiture laws, which I really call asset confiscation laws, because these
I call them legal plunder laws, sir.
Yeah. Exactly. These laws allow law enforcement to take your property even though you haven't been convicted of a crime. That's what I said. Yes, folks, that's the case here in Utah. You can be accused, simply accused of a crime, and your property can be taken from you, and you may just, and most of the time, you do not get your property back. And so this is contrary, obviously, to our legal system, to the principle on which this nation was founded. I want to read for you, Sam, right from our Bill of Rights. No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And yet we find all across the country, Sam, asset forfeiture laws which violate this particular amendment of the Constitution. Now, you and I both know that the amendment is not what gives us the right. We have that right from God. The fruits of our property, that's ours. And yet these confiscation laws violate that particular right that's been guaranteed to us by the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. These laws also violate the Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, and Eighth Amendments of the Constitution. This particular bill would have restored these constitutionally protected rights. So I applaud the representatives who put forth HB 19, but it's a shame on the senators who did not even take it up to consider this bill. That's what's the sad thing about this bill this year. Now, the Senate did have another good bill, which was to end compulsory education in the state, but not even they voted on that in the Senate. Unfortunately, public education is one of those socialistic institutions which is so deeply ingrained into the population here in the state of Utah that backing that one out is going to take a lot of effort and probably a lot of years, but we just need to make baby steps and incrementally take that back which is in the hands of private a sector, in the hands of parents, which is where education belongs. But we need to take some baby steps to get that back.
Amen. Now, understand this is all over the nation, though, that this is occurring, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't just Utah. It's everywhere. Let's clearly point out it is the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. We reject it, but it's alive and well in America and backed big time, to say the least. All right, one good news piece, though, is a concealed carry bill passed for, 18-year-olds?
It did, Sam, meaning that you can be permitted at the age of 18. You can get a permit to carry a concealed weapon even at that young age. Now, and that's a good thing. I mean, obviously, you and I believe that you and I have a right to carry a weapon to defend ourselves and our families. We don't need a permit to do that. But the current law in the state requires people to, if they want to carry concealed, that to have a permit. And so, this is a good bill in that it allows more people to exercise their right to self-defense. It's bad in that the state still thinks that we have to have a permit to do that. So, but that was, you have to consider a small victory, a victory nonetheless. And so there you have that. When we get back from the break, we can jump into some of the details of some of these other bills, Sam. I think you'll be very interested in what we have for you this morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will break it down from Utah. But you know what? The reason that it's national is because this all happens in your state, too. I think Utah's one great state to teach you how it ought to be done and what we ought to do. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. We are living in a nation which worships wealth rather than caring for the poor. I don't think that is the nation we should be living in, pontificated Bernie Sanders, the socialist senator and former Democratic presidential candidate from Vermont, by way of a March 18th Twitter post that he must have immediately regretted. Unlike more than 90% of the population, Sanders, who has never had an honest job in the productive sector, owns three homes, most recently closing the deal on a $600,000 lakefront summer house in an exclusive enclave last year. He also paid a tax rate of 13.5% in 2014, despite being a wealthy man, and he routinely rebukes the wealthy for not paying what he calls their fair share. following Sanders' self-righteous Twitter post, one user asked him, "Which of your three homes did you tweet that from?" If he's preaching about wealth redistribution, he needs to lead by example, suggested another. I don't think we should live in a country where you can say this while having three houses and paying a lower tax rate than I do, added a third. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Lowell Nelson with us, breaking down the state of Utah's legislative 45-day. I personally am calling it the session of terror. Now, Lowell may not want to break down and call it that, but I'm calling it that just because, again, we passed 535 bills. Most people, including the legislators themselves, have no idea what's even in them. And they might have a general idea, but we've raised taxes, literally, over $20 million in the state of Utah for 2019 alone. Now, a concealed bill, carry bill for people as young as 18 passed. That's good news. If you're old enough to die for your country, you ought to be old enough to carry a defense mechanism. Fortunately, both CON-CON resolutions failed, but again, that's just playing defense. But Lowell, you've really done your best to track all the bills, but for the most part, you tracked 24 key bills, and you've grouped the 24 into several categories. Now, what's interesting is I appreciate your efforts on this. I don't mean to be negative, but I want to point this out. If you track 24 bills and have an intimate breakdown of them, that's what, 5%? Less than 5%?
Yeah.
Of the abuse we took, though?
Yeah, it is, Sam.
And it's almost impossible to know how many of those good bills or how many of those bills that passed were good and were bad, because it's a mixed bag with a lot of them that aren't single-issue bills, right?
And by the way, just wanted to throw in something here, Lowell. I don't
Please,
know
sure.
if you heard about it, but the last night of the the party
the
at
Reign of
the
Terror?
State House. Anyway, I was up there and got to speak with Gail Ruzicka, and she basically backed you up.
By the way, leader of the Eagle Forum in the state of Utah, just so people understand
right.
who she is.
And she basically backed up what you said. In other words, there's just so much going on. She and the small group of folks that do the best they can up there are just pretty much, they're shorthanded, and they're not able to take over and cover all of these items. And that's why, she, and I'm sure you would agree, she requests, more involvement.
And I appreciate more involvement, Kurt, and I support that, and we need that big time. But again, it's a matter of people don't have time. They're too busy trying to make their house payment. They're too busy trying to go to work or take care of their family. A lot of times, for example, we'd love to cover a lot of this and get updated reports from this and get interviews from congressmen and senators from the state of Utah on this, but it takes a bunch of money and time that we just don't have either of. So what I'm really demanding and suggesting is, you know, I appreciate that we want more help to deal with a massive reign of terror, but I'm submitting we got to slow this thing down. For example, how many representatives and senators are in the state of Utah?
Well, there's 104 total, 75 reps and 29 senators.
So 104 total and 535 bills passed. So each one of them on the average got five of their own bills passed. They submitted about 10, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm saying that's out of control. Where are the legislators that say, I'm just Dr. No, like Ron Paul? Where are the legislators that say, I'm going to get rid of two regulations for everyone that pass? Or where are the guys that say, my goal is to reduce the size and scope of government? How many of those 535 bills reduced the size and scope of government? Any of them?
Yeah, just several. There,
when you say several, though, how many?
Yeah, I would say probably a half a dozen.
Okay, so the point is six out of 535. Okay, 53 would be 10%. 5.3 would be 1%. So 1% is designed to reduce the size and scope and breadth and depth of government. Folks, yeah, will never gain any ground that way, even if we have a million people there watching it every second, unless we can decrease the size and scope and focus of government, of the whole intent of the legislative session, right?
Well, and that's why it's so important to have the right people serve as your senator and representative, because it's the people that serve there that determine what bills are going to be considered. And so, yeah, and that's why I said at the outset, Sam, that if we find that a representative or a senator at the state level is voting in a way to take more of your property, to regulate you more strictly, or to take more of your liberties, then that person needs to be replaced. And only by watching their voting pattern, their voting record, can you know whether they're worth keeping or not. And so, you know.
Well, and there's a lot of choke points, though, where you can know without having to, because I can't monitor all the different bills of all these people. But what I can do, as you wisely point out, is I can watch my senator and my congressman, which gives me five bills each on the average. I got 10 bills to monitor every year. I don't know that I can get that done, depending on how big and complicated and lawyered out they are and everything else. But I will say this, though. I can look at, when you say, a half a dozen bills are good that decrease the size and scope of government, that's the equivalent of one legislator's passage, not even submission. Which,
right,
is very fascinating. It's minute, those who are really working towards decreasing the size and scope of government. I mean, the amount of people doing that is almost nil, right?
Yeah, that's right, Sam. You hit it right on the spot there. But and the key, the answer, you've rightly said, and that's what the Campaign for Liberty does. We encourage our members to watch the bills of their own representative and of their own senator. And if we have, you know, 200 or 300 people in the state that will do that, and we get coverage for every single one of our state legislators, then we are in effect watching every single bill that comes up, that's brought forward, and those are the Campaign for Liberty members then raise a red flag when they see a particularly egregious bill being considered. And then we can go to work to defeat that thing. Or if they see a particularly really, really good bill, then we can go to work to secure the passage of that bill. So we can, as a team, we can monitor every single bill. There's no way I could do it alone, but as a team, we can do
it. What it takes is 104 individuals to monitor every one of them, and or 104 tiny groups. If you got three people monitoring 104 legislative representatives in the House and the Senate for the state of Utah, for instance, you would need 312 people. You'd have three on every one of them. You'd have about three bills on the average to review, and only about 1.5 bills that are getting close enough to passage or end up getting passed to scrutinize to the nth degree. It's doable with very little people. 308 people is nothing.
Right.
But we struggle to get them, right?
Well, we do. We struggle to stay on top of it. Obviously, it's easy for one person to read it, two or three bills on a weekend. But what happens is the legislature goes fast and furious. Sometimes they'll make a change to a bill, that will flip it from a good bill to a mediocre bill, or from a mediocre to a bad one. And, you know, and so you have to stay right on top of things.
In other words, the point is, we're not even talking about 535 bills or 1,000 bills, depending on how many are passed versus, you know, get brought up in the first place. But then you got a bunch of iterations of bills, and they change on a dime, and they change all year long. And then right in the legislative reign of terror, 45 days of just craziness, then they change oftentimes without even really briefing you. You've got to absolutely drill in and be at every legislative event and session and every hearing and every this and that, or you don't even know, right?
Yeah, that makes it tough. But on the other hand, Sam, I don't want to make it unreachable. I don't want to make it sound unreachable for the normal citizen to have an.
But it is unreachable for the normal citizen until we get enough good guys in there to help us.
Well, and so yeah, what we need to do then, you know, we need to monitor that state legislative website, because we have a fantastic website in the state of Utah. Every single vote that's taken in the House or in the Senate is recorded. You know exactly how your senator and how your representative voted in the state, and this goes back years and years and years. So there is no reason why a person cannot know what the voting pattern of his representative and his senator is in the state of Utah. It's very, very clear on the state legislature's website.
Now, my goal isn't to give people a negative view to where they get disenchanted and they go away. However, my goal is to be a realist enough to say, look, you know, ladies and gentlemen, each year we have 45 days before we go over the waterfall. Okay, before we hit the falls, the rapids, the crazy, okay? And we've got some calm before that all year long to work on it. And then, when it is that session, we can have a handle on what's really our biggest concerns. In other words, we can truly narrow it down to a laser-like focus, and we can make our efforts known if enough of us are involved to really change the tide, to really, you know what? The boat's going over the cliff, maybe, or the waterfall, but we can get people out. We can get to that boat and get people out before it goes over the cliff. There are many things we can do. So I don't want people to think it's an all or nothing, and I don't want people to think it's completely negative. But I do want to have a reality handle on what it's going to take to change this thing, to make a difference. And in order to do that, you got to have an understanding of what we're really facing, right?
Yeah, good point, Sam. No question.
All right, so what we can do and what we ought to do, we'll come back and talk about. There's 24 key bills out of those 535 that Lowell Nelson and crew at campaignforliberty.org for the Olympic State of Utah have done. And we can really talk about these. We've grouped them into categories on purpose, which should give us a laser-like focus on the most critical of things. We'll do it in seconds, of course, on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, Lowell Nelson breaking down things. So you got 24 bills primarily as a laser-like focus because, hey, they're the ones that are either super bad or super good or et cetera, and we got kind of a mixed bag on what happened, Lowell.
Good. That's exactly right. Sam, four bills, four good bills that passed. One lowers the age the person may obtain a concealed weapons permit, lowered the age from 21 to 18. We've already talked about that, mentioned that. Interestingly, in contrast to this, there was a bad bill that passed, which is further down in my list, Sam, but it said that if you're 18, up until the age of 21, you have to wear a helmet if you're on a motorcycle in the state. So I thought it was sort of weird that, you know, how they believe that a person is young enough to decide to carry concealed, but he can't make the decision to wear a helmet on his own. The state has to make that decision for him. I just thought that was interesting, a piece of irony. back onto the four good bills that passed. There's the safety inspection requirement will be gone. Sometime this year if the governor signs this one. Number three here, the Utah's the Bear's Ears National Monument designation. Obama designated a big chunk of Utah as the Bear's Ears National Monument before his second term was over, and this was a concurrent resolution asking the president, the new President Trump, to rescind that particular national monument designation. That was a good thing, and that passed overwhelmingly. And then finally, there was a bill that does just a tiny, tiny little bit to reform asset forfeiture. Basically, it requires that property be returned to an individual when he is acquitted of a crime, which of course implies that he has to go through the trial in order to get an acquittal. I mean, if you're just simply, if property is taken from you and you're charged with a crime and then they drop the charge, they don't have to give back your property even though you're innocent because you did not get an acquittal. So even while it's a baby step in the right direction, there's still so much to be done to reform our asset forfeiture laws here in the state of Utah. So those are the four bills that I was following that they passed. Now, on to the eight bad bills that failed. This is also a little bit of good news. You know, when you have a bad bill that fails, that's good news. So the first one here, they wanted to register a person to vote when he went to renew his driver's license unless he opts out. And so what this would have done would have bloated the voter registration rolls significantly. People might say that's a good thing, but when you look at it really closely, you don't want people on the rolls who have no interest in voting. You want people who study the issues, who study the candidates, those are the people who are best able to vote because they're interested in voting. And so that was a bad bill, I thought, that failed. Here's a bad bill that appropriated $250,000 for a housing pilot program for low-income students. Here's a bill that increases the cost of licenses for a number of licenses, including the fee for purchasing a firearm. That failed. Here's one that increases the marriage fee license by $20, but that one fortunately failed. We've discussed that one already. Here's one that raises privacy concerns because the bill mandates specific communication between private schools and the local education agencies regarding students with disabilities. This one is particularly egregious because the tentacles of government begin to reach out to private schools, and that's just not appropriate. Here's one that imposes fines on sellers. This is the out-of-state internet tax bills. There were two of them this year. Fortunately, both of them failed in the House. They both cleared the Senate by a wide margin, but they failed in the House. This one's particularly bad. These types of bills are bad because here's the state of Utah trying to tell a company in Kentucky or Tennessee or someplace, you have to provide us with the names of everybody in Utah that bought product from you so we can go tax them. The other bill says to these companies, out-of-state companies, you have to provide us with the names of everybody in the state who bought product from you and remit to us what they should have paid us in taxes. So basically, I think these two bills were terrible, and they violate the principle of no taxation without representation, and I'm glad that they failed. Finally, this one is a bill to eliminate gender-based wage discrimination, and that is absolutely wrong. People should be paid according to what contribution they make to their organization, not according to their gender. And so on to three good bills that failed. Here's a bill that would have protected an individual's right to self-defense by clarifying that an individual does not have an obligation to retreat if threatened. The duty to retreat bill is a good bill, but it passed the House but failed in the Senate. Here's a good bill that increased the power of juries, requiring that they be informed of the potential sentence for a guilty verdict. That unfortunately failed in the House. And finally, this bill here that would have eliminated penalties for parents of truant school-aged children. That failed in the Senate. Now, finally, the fourth category, bad bills that passed. There's nine of them here. This first one appropriates $2 million for affordable housing. It presumes free market fails to provide people of modest means with viable housing alternatives. It favors central planning. Basically, it's socialism, and it passed both houses. Here's a bill that violates the principle of equality under the law. It punishes individuals who are accused of bigamy with harsher penalties than an individual involved in a monogamous relationship for the same crime. That's just not equitable. Here's a bill that creates a local food advisory council. You know, although promoting the growth and consumption of locally grown foods is admirable, such is not the proper role of government. Here's a bill authorizing the use of automated traffic enforcement safety device on a school bus. Now, you and I both agree that we need safety around school buses or any vehicle for that matter, but this type of a camera will end up punishing property and not individuals. Camera has no way of knowing who's driving the vehicle, only that your vehicle went and did something unsafe around this school bus. Worse, this starts Utah down a dangerous path toward the use of red light cameras, which is simply a revenue-generating tool that's used at intersections through, you know, in other states. And time and time again, it has been proven that these red light cameras increase the frequency and the severity of accidents at intersections. They'll reduce the time between yellow and red in order to catch more people running a red light. And that means that the green goes green sooner, and so that accidents become more frequent at these intersections. This is a very, very bad bill. It's an ominous warning, and we will be gearing up to fight this next year because I'm sure the red light cameras are on their way here in Utah. We need to do all we can to stop that before it ever gets started. Here's a bill that requires the Department of Workforce Services to conduct a study concerning services and resources for children 5 years and younger and their families. Talk about invasion of privacy. Here's a bill that creates First Amendment concerns that it makes a crime for another person who electronically publishes, posts, or otherwise discloses personal identifying information of another person in a public online site or forum without that person's permission. Meaning if you are in an online forum and I happen to disclose your name, I could be guilty of a third-degree felony, Sam. Absolute invasion of privacy here and encroachment on my liberty to just have a conversation. So that's bad. There's three more bad bills here. Increases this one here. You have to wear a helmet. If you're 18, 19, or 20, at 21, finally, you can choose not to wear a helmet. This is nanny state. Here's a bill that raises taxes by $4.2 million in 2018, $4.9 million every year thereafter to fund what? An outdoor recreation program in the state of Utah. Whoopee. And finally, the last bad bill that I tacked on here was it raises the gas tax on citizens. We'll pay $4.2 million additional gas tax in 2019, $14.6 million more in 2020.
It just doesn't end. Bottom line, though, this, out of 535 bills, how many can you point to that are really good that passed? Four?
Four.
Ladies and gentlemen, what percent's that? It'd be 4% if it was 100 bills. If it's 500 bills, it'd be what, 1/5 of 1%?
Yep.
And it's less than 1/5 of 1%, ladies and gentlemen. The rest either got, well, the rest are bad, or maybe neutral at best. The only benefit is, thank heavens to the 500-plus we shut down that didn't get passed. That's the good piece. The better piece is folks are working on it every day at campaignforliberty.org, and the best part is you can help. Lol.
And thank you, Sam. You can help best by watching your own representative, watching your own senator, and replacing them if they are working to take your property or infringe on your liberties. If they're not doing that, if they're standing up for you, then keep them in there. Support them. That's my word, Sam.
Amen to that. Godspeed, my friend. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Sam. Good day.
Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing an incredible job as always. We, the people at libertyroundtable.com, doing our best to break it down just for you and stand for God, family, and country and the protection of life, liberty, and property. LibertyRoundtable.com, we the people declare this nation shall endure.